Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Philippians is a thank you note that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. Have you ever gotten a thank you note? You know what you did with that thank you note? You pulled it out, you read it, perhaps you shared it with someone else in the house, and you laid it down, and you picked it up, and you read it again, and perhaps you read it again. There's something about getting a handwritten note. There's something about writing a note to someone that they just do not throw it away. They look at it and they read it over and over. Obviously, this thank you note did not get thrown away because we are still reading it today of how the Apostle Paul appreciated the faith that the church, the people in the church at Philippi, the faith that they had and that they exhibited and that they showed to others and that they were not afraid to show to others. And so we read here, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, and the bishops or overseers or pastors and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I've got to tell this. I'm going to embarrass somebody whenever I tell this. Some of you, it's a personal thing, but it was a unique thing that happened today. You know, when people tell you thank you and that they appreciate you or they love you, it means a lot. It just means a lot. And so today, whenever I was meeting with Brother Joe, Brother Ronnie, Brother Cody, and I was sharing with them the breakdown of the sermons and who would preach what going into that second chapter, I didn't bring my Bible with me. I had a Bible on the shelf there that I had retired. Now, a lot of Bibles I've had to retire because I've just worn them out. Maybe because I didn't take care of them like I should, or a Bible. I just got this Bible because I had worn out the other Bible, and I'd open it sometime, pages just fall out of it. But this Bible was not worn out. It's not what wore out. My eyes wore out, and so I had to get a large print edition. So I had it sitting on the shelf over there, and so I got that Bible, and I opened it up, and there, verse 3 was underlined, and my oldest son had written his name there beside it. Don't act like you're sorry you did that, Jeff. And so I wrote a little note in there, and Jeff was 15 years old whenever he underlined that verse. Now, I want to tell you, that was just, ladies, I told our staff, those of you that went through one of the Bible studies this last year, and you talked about joy bombs. Well, that was just a joy bomb, and it came on a great day to see that. Anyway, y'all, I don't care if you like that or not. Anyway, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, Paul was a Southerner, you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with grace. Of me, with me, of grace, For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. I loved basketball. There in Avenger, we would play 40 games a year, my little hometown. We barely had enough to have a team. That's why we didn't have football anymore. If we played baseball in the summer, we had to get people from other towns to come and play on our team because we didn't have enough to field a team. And I love basketball. And so when I came here, I began to play basketball, and our church got in a basketball league. And we were playing in a league, and the league played at the gym at First Baptist Church Crosby. And I was very competitive, too competitive. And I went up for a layup. I went up for a jump shot one night, and I came down. And this leg just folded underneath me, and my foot just came up this way and just shot out the side. And I stayed out of the game for a little bit, and I thought, all right, I'll be all right. You know, I just thought, well, I'm real limber anyway. And so I went back in the game, and I drove the lane and went up. When I came down, that knee turned, and it sounded like a .22 bullet going off. And that ended my basketball. But I had somebody by the name of John Wheat. John Wheat was one of our youth ministers. Matter of fact, he was our second full-time youth minister. And John came to serve here at the church a couple years after that happened. And John said, "What do you attribute your knee injury to?" And I still remember where we were driving down the road, and I said to John, "Grace." He said, "What?" I said, "Grace." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I learned lessons the hard way, John. And God taught me that Old River needed a pastor and not an athletic director." And I still remember saying those words to him, and I still remember believing those words. You see, there are times whenever difficult things happen to us, like they did to Paul, that bring about good things. Are you going through some difficulties? I want to share with you that God can use your difficulties in some of the greatest ways that you can ever imagine. And it may be that God can teach you some of your greatest lessons in life by the difficulties that you may have to go through. And it may be that some of the choices that we have made in the past that were bad choices can become some of the greatest lessons that we learn to carry us forward and to carry us in the direction that God wants us to go. It may be, I want to tell you, I just would not have listened. I could get so upset at the referees because I felt like they were mistreating my team, and I could justify that by, you're just not going to treat my team from Old River that way. Isn't that stupid? Isn't that the silliest thing you've ever heard? Maybe you've been there and you can understand because you've experienced it. The Apostle Paul said, because of my chains, wonderful things have happened. Can you imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul? I mean, it would be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all day long. And the Apostle Paul said here that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. So, if tonight you are going through some of the chains, being chained down by some of the things in this world, by some circumstances that you are having to go through, or if things are going wonderful, just hold on. Because as it says in the book of Job, man that is born of woman is few of days and full of troubles. In this world you shall have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap the reward if you faint not. There are so many things that are going to happen to us in this world, but God can use those great difficulties for us to point people to Christ. So I want you to think with me tonight about why preach Jesus. Why preach Jesus? Now, I didn't think grace was my first point. Thought that was my middle point, but anyway, I sent it to Brother Joe, and he put it like I sent it to him, so I'm sure I'm the one that messed up. So let's look at grace first. Why preach Jesus? Because he is for grace. There is no one that has voted for grace in this world like Jesus voted for grace. Now, I want you to imagine a play-like conversation that could have taken place in heaven, okay? We're just going to play-like. We're not saying this happened. But what if it would have happened that they were gathered around the throne of God one day and God were to have said, what are we going to do with these humans? Just look at them. You know, I gave them a garden in Eden. They didn't have to do anything. And what did they do? They ate themselves out of house and home. What are we going to do with them? And Jesus, you know, everybody in there, you know, Michael could have raised his hand, the archangel, and said, well, what do you think about, you know, just flooding the earth again? And God could have said, well, I've done promised them with a rainbow. I wouldn't do that again. Gabriel could have spoken up and said, well, what about just going ahead and just melting the whole place down right now? Well, I would, but I got some more plans. And then Jesus speaks up and says, I vote for grace. I vote for grace. I vote that we give them something that they really don't deserve. Let's show them love. Let's show them love. And in this passage of Scripture, we see that Paul talks about grace, and he talks about grace abiding in their lives. Experiencing grace every day. Oh my goodness, at the times that you and I could look back, even over this past week, at things that we thought, okay, here's what our plan is for the day, and then we get into the day and realize God had something totally different because we have been abiding in grace. And when you abide in grace, it's amazing how God will take care of arranging for things to happen. there was, I have to be kind of vague about this, but there was an incident that occurred, and it was a very emotional, traumatic time here a little over a month ago. And there was someone who was just really upset over what had happened, and it was a tragedy. And so we were all in there together, and we were just trying to encourage one another. And I said something, and he took it wrong. And I didn't mean it the way he took it at all. And finally, we just had to kind of just settle it down. And I've been praying about that because I know that young man, and I love that young man. And I've just been praying, God, fix this. And he's not a member of our church. And today I was here at the church waiting on someone, and I thought, well, I've got time to run up here to the gas station and fill up the truck, because I was just about on empty and I needed to do that, and I had things I needed to do tomorrow, and I wasn't going to have time to do it in the morning. So I went up here to the Chevron station. I pulled in there, and I looked, and there he was. And I got the pump going, and I walked over there, and I saw him, and he saw me, and we shook hands, and we visited, and that was God. That was grace. And why preach Jesus? Because Jesus voted for grace, and he voted for you and me to be able to abide. In other words, for grace to reside, make a home in our heart. But not just a little dabble, do you? How many of you remember the old, how many of you even know what Brill Cream is? Well, bless the hearts of the rest of you. It's something men used to get to put on their hair to fix their hair with. Anyway, make it shine. And there was an ad that went along with the Brill Cream. And what was it? A little dabble, do you? God bless you, saints. Great is your reward in heaven. You got a big mansion. The rest of you, bless your hearts. But anyway, Jesus didn't vote for just a little dab. Well, Lord, let's have grace, but let's not give them the full dose. But he says here, that you may abound. Now, you know why Paul would say, I'm praying that God's amazing grace will abound towards you. You know why? Because it's not something you keep to yourself. It's something that the more you give it away, the more you have. Isn't that amazing? That's one of those things in Scripture that the world would say contradicts itself. But the more you give away, the more you have. The more grace you give to others, the reason we abound in grace is so that we can give grace and experience more grace. Why preach Jesus? Because he is for grace. And probably grace needed to be first, because it is what came first. But I would share with you that we need to preach Jesus because he was so unselfish and he made it so simple and yet so secure, because he is so sovereign. He is in charge. Why preach Jesus? Because he's for grace. Why preach Jesus? Because he is for good. Good. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I want you to think with me about how he is for good, his good will toward you and me. God has good for us, good planned for us, and not evil. But boy, bad things happen, don't they? And we're always being hit as believers. Well, you're one of those Christians. I see you with your Bible, all that Christian stuff, and I look at how that reporter and her cameraman got shot down, and they were just so innocent. I think about all these tragedies that have happened, and I think about how ISIS is taking people and just beheading those people. Now, you explain that to me, Christian. You explain evil and suffering to me. And if you're a believer, you're going to be hit with that. But you know what? We may be asked to explain, and we may not be able to have a good answer. We may be asked to explain evil and suffering in this world, but I want to share this with you. Those who do not believe in God and do not believe there is God, they have to explain everything else. Everything else. And so whenever someone is trying to put that on you, why don't you say, well, before we get there, would you help me with something? Would you explain, help me understand, how did all this happen? Would you explain everything else to me that we see and touch? And are you wanting me to believe that it just happened? He who started a good work, God's will to work, he who started a good work in you will complete it. Isn't it amazing that what God, what Jesus started, he's going to complete it in you. You see, whenever you realized and I realized my need for a Savior because I was a sinner, whenever I realized that and I died to myself and I gave my heart to Jesus, whenever I did that as an 11-year-old boy, and whenever you did that, if you have done that, at that moment, Jesus started something good in you. When you were born again. But look at some of the babies we have in the room in here tonight. Look at these children, perhaps, that are sitting beside you. They're not grown yet, are they? They were born, but they're not through growing. And God's not through growing you if you know Jesus as your Savior. He who started a good work in you will complete it. And he wants what is good for us, for the kingdom, for always. He started something good in you, and one of these days, some of the things, a lot of the things that absolutely make no sense to you and me right now, one of these days we will stand before God, and we will understand what good will he had toward us. And also what good work. Because he wants to work not only in us, but through us. And it's so wonderful to watch God work in people's lives. It's so wonderful to watch God take someone who will say, preacher, I won't ever do that. I won't ever do that. Someone's in my mind right now, and I'm not going to call his name, but he never went to Sunday school. But back when we started a pastor's class, I asked him if he would come to that. All right, but don't ever call on me to teach. I mean to pray. And then eventually, he prayed, and eventually he taught. He who started a good work in you will complete it. Why preach Jesus? Because of his good will toward us, and because of his good work that can take place through us. There is no one that can do through you what Jesus can do through you. You can be the most talented person in the world. You can have the greatest personality, and everyone is just drawn to you. You can be someone that perhaps inherits half the wealth of the earth. And some of you are thinking, well, I know that's not the answer, but I'd like to give that a try. You could inherit half the wealth of the earth, and you still couldn't do what Jesus could do through you. But you know what? God has given everyone in here the gift of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Verse 11, being filled. Is there anything about filled that you don't understand? Filled doesn't mean half full. Doesn't mean, you know, has a little something in it. Filled, up to the brim, okay? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now think that one out with me. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Fruit is something that is a product of something growing and producing something that is beneficial to someone else. Why preach Jesus? Because he was for grace, for it abiding in you and abounding in you. Why preach Jesus? Because he was for good. Goodwill towards you and good works through you. And why preach Jesus? Because he was for God. Period. Jesus was for God. Now you think about the story and the life of Jesus. Who was he for? Who was he constantly pointing people to? Himself or to God? Filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. His holiness and his honor. Why preach Jesus? Because Jesus was for God. Are you for God? Are you for him? Are you for you? Are you for someone else? Rick Warren started Saddleback Church in California. And Rick Warren ended up writing a book entitled The Purpose-Driven Life. And in that book, he asked the question as a subtitle, what on earth are we here for? And he says, it's not for us. It's not about us. And God blessed Rick Warren with the writing of that book, and now other books, that Rick Warren was able to stand before his church and say, it's my privilege to share with you because of how God's blessed me in other ways, and primarily through the writing of that one book, that the salary that he had received for the 25 years that he had been the pastor there of the church at that time, he was able to give it all back to that church. What are we here for? The last portions of that scripture that we talked about tonight, or that we read tonight, as we think about why preach Jesus? What are you preaching? Would you stand?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.